I think that's a really cool graphic.
That is really cool.
I just feel like it now.
Yeah.
You didn't like spit in it, did you?
It was the best movie
because you made me miss a movie.
He's alright.
Just
yeah, this like said that was panic.
Yeah.
Now we're like, oh, it's okay. It's gonna be all right. All right. I think it's the angle.
No,
that's what we were saying earlier. It looks like they're different colors.
Yeah. If you stand directly in front
of
it,
which one looks darker to you?
As soon as you get directly in front of it, it's
yeah.
Okay. Well, enough debating on whether this TV is darker than this TV. We're going to talk tonight. We're going to start a series called Tensions. And we've been talking about leading up to this for several weeks now and talking about the idea of some subjects that are pretty tense. I mean, hence the name. Unfortunately, because we have revival and Thanksgiving and all these other things that are going on, we're going to start this series tonight and not finish it clear until like December, like Christmas, basically. But we're also not going to be. Yeah, we're going to really build the tension. You're right.
Pause,
yes, major pause for effect. But tonight, we're going to talk about, and I know this is not going to be exciting, but we're going to talk about suicide. I know, I think that's a pretty intense concept or idea to talk about. And the reason we're going to talk about it is because somebody, and I don't remember exactly who it was, one of our students here, I think the person that did ask isn't even here, wanted to talk about it. It was something that was on their mind. We asked different things one night in a small group or discussion setting, like, what would you like to talk about on, you know, during the message time? And this was one of the things that was mentioned. And so let me kind of start off, I guess, by, you know, asking, has anybody dealt with this in any way, like known somebody who's ever committed suicide or related to somebody or related to somebody who's thought about it or anything? I mean, any, cover the whole spectrum there. Anybody? A few of you? So I feel like enough of us, you don't have to be scared to raise your hand. I mean, it's okay. You know, we all got issues. You know, majority of us in here have seen it, dealt with it in some sort of way. My hope out of this tonight is that, one, if this is something you're like, man, I don't know anybody, I've never thought about this, I've never even given it a second thought one time, I hope that you won't tune this out, because I think this could be useful at some point. The statistics of people who deal with this are just huge. I mean, it's unbelievable. My second hope out of tonight is going to be that if you're personally dealing with this, or you know somebody who's dealing with this, that you're going to know what to do, or how to handle it, or where to go. So let me begin just by throwing out some stats to you. These were pretty overwhelming to me as I was reading through and studying for this. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for ages 10 to 24. Third leading cause of death. It was the second leading cause of death, but I'm not sure what replaced it. I would like to know, but it's now dropped down to the third, which I feel like is a little bit of hope that it went from second to third, but still, you know, that's pretty high up on the list. It is the third leading cause of death for college-age youth and ages 12 to 18. So college-age students and then kids ages 12 to 18. Somebody needs to yell down there and just be like, Jeff, quiet down. More teenagers and young adults die from suicide than from cancer, heart disease, AIDS, birth defects, stroke, pneumonia, influenza, and chronic lung disease combined. And each day in our nation, there are an average of over 5,400 attempts by young people, grades 7 through 12, attempts of suicide. And then 4 out of 5 teens that attempt suicide have given clear warning signs. Each year, approximately 157,000 youth between the ages of 10 and 24 receive medical care for self-inflicted injuries in emergency departments across the United States. I don't know about you, but that number right there just blows my mind a little bit. That's a lot of people going to the emergency room for self-inflicted injuries. Boys are more likely than girls to die from suicide. And then of the reported suicides in the age group from 10 to 24, 81% of those deaths were males and 19% were females. Girls, however, are more likely to report attempting suicide than boys. So for those of you who are girls and you have friends that might be struggling with things emotionally, I don't know. Well, maybe that, actually, I should say that the opposite way. If you are a guy and you have friends that are struggling with things emotionally, it might be even more important for you to say something to somebody because they're most likely not going to say anything to anyone else. And then according to the American Suicide Prevention Program, someone dies from suicide every 13.7 minutes. That means in our time tonight, if I calculated up from the time we had the meal till we leave, that's nearly 8 to 9 people that are going to commit suicide in that just a 2-hour span. I mean, that's crazy. So, again, not the most exciting talk I'm going to ever do. I'm sure you're just going to go home and be like, man, Pastor Ian had a riveting message tonight. You would not even believe it. It was so exciting. You know, it was better than the game we played, you know. I realize that. But let me just say this. This is real life issues. There are people that you go to school with every day that are dealing with this sort of thing. And my hope is that you're going to leave here tonight and have a better understanding of that. And if you're dealing with things like this, thoughts like that, you're going to have a better handle on how to deal with it. This is a very real issue, and it's very likely that sometime in your life, you're going to know somebody, be related to somebody, or be connected to somebody who commits suicide or attempts suicide or struggles with depression and anxiety. It's even likely that you will struggle with potentially with depression and anxiety. Know this though, people who commit suicide, I think it's this misconception that they're crazy, that they're going to show signs of like literally being crazy. One of the articles I read actually talked about how it's very unlikely that they're going to present signs of actually being that mentally unstable. They're going to show signs, but they're not going to show signs of like, hey, we need to get the guys in the white coats and get this person locked up. You know, it's not going to be like that. They will show other signs. There was a kid in my youth group growing up. His name was Eli. And he had an older brother who is, do you know how much older he is than you, Allison? A couple years older than you, right? And he was, yeah. And then he was the middle brother. And then he had a younger brother named Jack, who was actually in our youth group when this happened. Now, Eli was this funny kid. I mean, he was just, Eli would walk into the room, and dude, if he was smiling, I mean, it was like, just light up the room. I mean, he was fun to be around. He was kind of a pain in the butt sometimes, too, but he was just always enjoyable to be around. He always had something funny to say or something funny to do, and he would do things, and he'd just be like, you'd almost feel sorry for him sometimes, because he'd just do the silliest things. He'd be like, oh my gosh, Eli, why did you eat the pickle that was behind the refrigerator, you know? Or, you know, it's just like, that's the kind of things Eli would do, you know? Or like, he was just such a fun kid to be around, though. Always, you never knew what was going to happen. And when Eli went off into college, well, late teens, early, you know, 20s, he was living out in Arizona, and sadly, he took his life. And this is a kid that you would have never thought in a million years that he would ever reach such a dark place. That he would get to a point where he would make such a decision. And so I remember what it was like to get that news and to think that maybe he was going to survive from that attempt and then to find out that he wasn't going to, you know. And this is something that I've not shared very often in my life, but personally, for me, growing up, I grew up in a home that was constant turmoil, constant chaos. I mean, stepdad fighting with my mom. I'd go to school and just be completely worried that my stepdad was going to kill my mom while I was at school, or that my sister was going to, I have a sister who's 10 years younger than me, you know, that something was terribly wrong and it was going to happen to her. And I remember in the 6th grade thinking that maybe it would be better if I took my life. And I don't know why I thought that. I don't know where that came from. You know, but it was something that I had thought about. I don't think I could have ever done it. I know I couldn't have ever done it, but I know that I had. I know what it's like to get to that point where you begin to think, maybe this option is better than this option. So I want to say all that, not to be like, hey, look at me, because that's not at all. But just so that as we talk tonight, know that I understand what it's like to be in a place where you're like weighing those options. Is it better to deal with the mess, or is it better to do this? And so I want to break this down tonight, this talk. And if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and get it out. We're going to start in Romans 10. But I want to break this talk up into two points. One is, what does God say about suicide? Secondly, I want to talk about, what should I do if I ever have thoughts of suicide, or I know someone who does? So I'll give you a second to turn there if you're going to.
Romans what?
Romans 10. Romans 10. I had a really hard time finding a specific example in the Bible where it says, this is what will happen if you commit suicide. You know, I think that for a long time in the church, we've been led to believe that there's a verse like that. And maybe there is, and I just couldn't find it. I'm not going to say that I'm like the expert on this subject, but I tried to do quite a bit of study, and all that I could find were people that committed suicide. I want to give you just a few examples. Samson, for those of you who know who Samson was, he was the guy in the Bible that had the really long hair, and because of his long hair, he was strong. There was a promise, if I remember right, made between him and God, that as long as he didn't cut his hair, he would have his strength. And he let his woman convince him that it'd be a good idea. Didn't she come in the middle of the night and cut his hair, if I remember right? Correct me if I'm wrong. It's been a little while since I've read Samson's story. And so he lost all his strength. Well, he eventually committed suicide. It was kind of a sacrificial thing. He, you know, laid his life down for others. But King Saul, this is not the same guy that became Paul later. Just for those that know what I'm talking about when I say that. There was a guy in the New Testament, for those that don't know, whose name was Saul, and then when he met Jesus, he became Paul. I'm not talking about that guy. This is in the Old Testament. There was a king named Saul. He took his own life, and there was a few others that I was going to mention, but I don't think that most of us would probably even known who they were off the top. I mean, it would have taken some big-time study to realize who they were. My lands. Could we get a few more noises? Would you do me a favor? It would make a huge difference if those doors down in the gym were shut. I guarantee we wouldn't hear that as much.
This is right down the stairs,
isn't it? That's true.
Almost coming up.
Well, I guess so. I was thinking that it was coming up through there. But anywho, never mind. I'll just talk over it. Huh?
You can tell me to wait before we're done.
Yeah, we'll save that for another day. We will have to have that conversation, though. The other person that most of you might know is Judas, committed suicide. He's the one that betrayed Jesus for the 30 pieces of silver, and then later he hangs himself. And so there was like at least three or four other examples in Scripture of somebody committing suicide, but the question that I feel like I've heard over and over, and I'll try to talk louder so that you guys don't have to listen to the sweeper, is, does a person who commits suicide automatically go to hell? Has anybody heard that that would be willing to say, yeah, I've heard that? Few of you, a couple of you. I've heard that a lot. Maybe not everybody's heard that. But it's definitely a question that I've wrestled with and wondered. And so I want to look at that for a few minutes, at what the Bible specifically says about this. And let me say, for those of you who have heard that perspective, this might shock you just a smidge, especially if that's what you believed. I hope that nobody will come back and be like, you told my kid this, and that's not... I'm just telling you what I believe that the Bible is saying. Let me be very clear on that. The Bible, I think, is pretty crystal clear that a person goes to heaven or hell based on a relationship with Jesus. It is 100% all about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are no other factors involved. It's about knowing Christ and having Him in your heart. That's it. In fact, I want to read, if you haven't already read it, it's been up there on the screen a few minutes, but we'll read Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For is there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I don't know what you think, but I think that's pretty clear. It's to the point. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart that Jesus is who he says he is and professes that faith, they will be saved. This idea, though, that we're talking about, that if you commit suicide, you will go to hell, comes, as I understand it, a lot from the Middle Ages and the Catholic Church. Not to say that the Catholic Church is bad, just saying that maybe they have a few things wrong. Do what?
Here and there,
you know. Not all of it. I'm not saying that. But they've taught this idea that, okay, so if you commit suicide, Jordan, commit suicide, I'm not saying that you're going to. We need to have a talk afterwards?
Nope.
Okay, good. We probably have to talk anyways, but that's all. It's a whole different ballgame. I'm just kidding. The idea here would be that he committed murder and then died and can't ask for forgiveness for that sin. Right? Well, okay. If that's true, then the same logic would apply to, let's say you're in a car and you're getting ready to get in a car accident and you shout out in your last dying breath, oh, shiitake mushrooms. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you?
Darn it.
What did you say?
Shoes.
Yeah, oh,
shut
shoes.
The front door.
Shut the front door, exactly. All right. Woo! We could really lose it there. If you said that being considered in some people's mind a sin, then you sinned. You couldn't ask for forgiveness for that. So does that mean that you're going to go to hell then? Is that what that means? I don't... Let me just say this. It is in my opinion and my understanding of the Scriptures that is not the case. Our God is so much bigger than that. That if you confess with your mouth, as it says, and believe in your heart and are saved, then God is sufficient in his power and his might and his forgiveness and his grace and mercy to forgive you of all your sins, past, present, and future. And if you drop your phone during the message, that doesn't mean you're going to have to spend eternity in... Yeah, doesn't mean you're going to have to spend an eternity in a fiery blaze. Unless your name is Ashley. No. I just think that God is bigger than that. In fact, it says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. So that means all the unrighteousness, not just some of it, not just a part of it, not just that one day that you were messed up and you screwed things up really bad, and so God forgave you of that day, but not the next day. All unrighteousness. So when we surrender our heart to Jesus and ask him to forgive us, it covers all of that. But let me make sure that you understand me. I'm not saying that this is an excuse to look at life and say, oh man, my life is terrible. Nothing's gone right for me. It's awful. The world has, you know, just handed me a bad deck of cards, basically. It's a bad deal. And so I don't want to live anymore because life is too hard. And God has forgiven me. He's cleansed me of all my sins. So I'm just going to kill myself and go be with Jesus. It'll be better. That's not at all what I'm saying. I just want to make sure that we're clear on that. You know, I don't believe that God wants that of us. Suicide is not and never will be the answer. I believe that God has called us to... we all have purpose, we all have meaning, we all have something that he's calling us to that's greater than ourselves. Each and every life, no matter how good or bad it is, God cares for us. I like what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 through 20. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to you to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I just like, what's up? Was that not on there?
Sorry.
Oh my gosh, she's sleeping at the wheel back there.
Wait, wait, can you say that all again? I missed it.
Go back one slide for a second. I really like, where is it? I just like the part specifically where it says just now choose life. I mean, essentially, I believe that God has called us all to live out our lives, not to be cut off, you know, cut short, not to, no matter how hard life gets, no matter how difficult circumstances may be, God is not calling us to say, to give up and to say, oh, I can't handle this, God, so I'm just going to end it all, you know. Taking your life is, in many ways, I would say one of the most selfish things a person can do. Ever. You know, if you think about it, it does not just affect that person. I mean, it has a massive effect on their family, their spouse, their children, their kids, their friends. I mean, it leaves behind just this unbelievable wake of destruction. And that's not how God has called us to handle our issues. I'm not saying that there's a single person in here that's thinking, oh man, I had a bad day at school, I got a really bad grade on that test, so I'm just going to, you know, go out back and end it all. But I think sometimes we get a little dramatic about difficult situations, and what we try to do is we try to pray for God to take us out of those situations and remove us from a difficult circumstance. But what God really wants for us is to actually walk with us through difficult circumstances. So no matter what's going on in your life, whether it be really not, you know, it's like sort of bad, or it's like level 5 bad. I mean, it's like it can't get any worse. God wants to walk through that with you, not necessarily take you out. Now, He may actually take you out of that circumstance in some sort of way, but I would say majority of the time, God wants to walk with us through those circumstances. It says in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is telling His disciples there, and I believe He's telling us, that, hey, I have overcome everything that this world has to throw at you, no matter how good, bad, whatever it is. And if we can fix our eyes simply on Jesus and just ask Him to help us, He will help us overcome our circumstances as He walks through it with us. Again, I'm not saying that that God or the Bible or the church or even myself is at the slightest bit okay with someone taking their own life. I really believe that God is calling us to something much bigger than that, and that He can help us get through difficult circumstances. Something else I think is important to keep in mind, and this is not necessarily specific to anyone here, maybe it is. I think it's probably more specific to people that you know. When someone is dealing with depression or anxiety, or they're in that kind of dark place mentally where they might be considered suicidal, keep in mind that... Did you just point at Ashley? Or was that just a... I'm sorry. That was like a squirrel moment. He kind of went like this, and I thought he was like pointing at Ashley. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. But anyways, if you know somebody who's at that point or they've reached that point, odds are it's more than just a simple, like, I hate my life kind of thing. I mean, there's got to be some sort of chemical imbalance there. I mean, if you only knew how many people that you probably interact with on a given daily basis that probably take anti-anxiety medication or antidepressants, I mean, that is, you know, huge in our culture now because people are dealing with some real, you know, really messy issues. In fact, this little story is going to get hard to follow for just a second. I promise you I'll try to make as much sense as... My family's jacked up, okay?
It's going to be like Inception.
No, it's not going to be that bad.
It's a story within a story.
Yeah, a dream
no.
within a dream.
I love Shawshank Redemption.
I do too, but that has nothing to do with it. My stepdad's brother, who would, I guess, be considered my step-uncle. His name is Kevin. I'll just refer to him as Kevin so we don't get confused.
You lost me.
Stop it, you. Okay, Kevin, who is my step-uncle, dated one of my best friend's mom growing up. Her name was Angie. My friend's name was Justin.
Understand.
Okay, are we following? This is a serious story. Are we following? All right. Okay. When I was in high school, I remember one day coming to school, Kevin had been on tons of medication, antidepressants, anti-anxiety, I mean, the whole gamut, you know, had been in and out of, like, mental hospitals probably, like, 3 or 4 times where he was committed, and then they, you know, thought he was getting better and let him out. And one night, I remember Justin coming to school and said, you're not going to believe this, but Kevin last night come in and his son come home late and woke him up, and he just went nuts. He just took a baseball bat and he smashed the TV, smashed the living room, that he just destroyed the entire house. And we found out later that he had been off of his medicine for about 3 weeks or so. And then about a month goes by, and then we find out that Kevin went out into a field and shot himself. And it was one of those situations where, for me, I mean, it absolutely rocked my world. I mean, because this is the first time that anybody I knew that well and had that much, you know, much of a connection with had ever committed suicide. But it was all because he didn't take his medication. I mean, he was a pretty sane guy when he was on his medicine, you know. And I mention all this simply to say that you have no idea what people are going through mentally when they're not on medication, or even when they are on medication. I mean, the places that they go sometimes if they're not, you know, on that. I mean, it's unbelievable. There are people out there that truly need that stuff just to stay normal, you know. There are some of you in here that I think might need it. I'm just kidding. You know. But anyways, saying all that, you know, just keep that in mind when you with your friends and people that you know that are dealing with things emotionally or mentally. I mean, Satan is at work in people's lives. And I really believe that somebody who is dealing with depression or dealing with anxiety or dealing with those types of thoughts, it's not just a chemical imbalance, but it's really an attack of the devil working in their life. I mean, we live in an absolutely fallen world, and he's going to try to get at us any way he can. With that said, I wish I had more time to talk about that. I hope that I've taken a position there and made it pretty clear and we've dealt with it well. I want to just finish up here real quickly and hopefully we'll still have some time. I feel like I went a little long. Maybe it was our game. I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking too much. But I feel like it's important to talk about this and then give you some practical advice as to what to do, what should you do or what should we do if we have thoughts of taking our own life, or we know somebody who has. And we've actually had a situation here once where someone brought to our attention somebody who was dealing with some things emotionally and had to handle it. Let me start by saying the first thing you need to do is talk to somebody. I know that just like the situation we had before, if someone tells you, hey, they're dealing with some things, and they tell you that they're thinking about taking their own life, I can guarantee you they're going to tell you like this. They're going to say all that, and then they're going to say, hey, please don't tell anybody. You have my permission in this situation to not do that, to not do what they just said, to go and tell somebody. This is the one time I would say to not keep that confidence, to not keep that secret. You know, most of the time I would encourage you, if someone tells you a secret that's not life-threatening to somebody else, go ahead and keep that secret. You know, if Carol stole Cindy's boyfriend and she doesn't want anybody to know about it, you know, all right, don't tell nobody. Nobody's going to die over that. But in this situation...
You never know.
Well, you're right. You never know. You're right. You know, you're right. Maybe we should tell somebody. But this would be an instance where I'd say immediately find an adult and get that situation handled. You can talk to somebody here. We have adults here that you can talk to. There are other adults in the church that you can talk to. You can talk to me. It is important that you talk. There are people who get paid at your school, most likely, to deal with these types of issues. And there are entire organizations that exist to also help counsel people in this matter. Number one thing is it's imperative that you talk to somebody. The second thing is, if this might be more of a personal thing, but if this is something you're dealing with, I would say that it's crucial that you actually admit that there's a problem. If you know anything about drug recovery or alcohol recovery or any kind of recovery program for addiction, the first thing is to admit that you have a problem, right? You get up there and say, "Hi, my name is Gracie Vaughn, and I have a problem." You know, I'm addicted to my cell phone. I can't let it go. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe a little bit, right? That's a huge step. Just simply admitting that there's actually a problem. And then again, the best thing that you can do, if you have a friend who's struggling with anxiety or depression or suicidal thoughts, one, tell an adult. And then the second thing that I would say is listen to them. Listen to their story. Hear what's going on. And I would say with that, don't be condemning. I think our temptation when we confront something we don't understand is to be like, "Man, you are messed up. What is wrong with you? You are jacked up." You know, and I would strongly, strongly recommend that you don't do that. I heard someone talking about this recently, and it was in a totally different context, and we're going to actually bring this back up in a later message in this series, but is that a conversation is always better than condemnation. Asking questions versus condemning is always better, especially if you don't understand. Ask them why they feel the way they feel, or why. In fact, most of counseling is just a guy that you pay to sit there and ask you questions so that you can figure out the problem yourself. You know? Do what?
You're like, "How does that make you feel?"
Yeah, exactly. Just ask, "How does that make you feel?" A lot.
Do you have a plan?
Yeah.
When is this going to happen?
Yeah, like exactly. That. I mean, those are key right there. Yeah. Because, and along with that, I would say too, the more specific a person is about how they're going to do it, the more they know, the more likely they are to actually do it, just so you know that.
Well,
no, they'll let you be chaplain. What? I don't even know where you're going with that.
They won't let me be chaplain because I'm a girl.
Oh, okay. What's that got to do with this? Is that making you have some anxiety and some stress? Do we need to talk?
It's very stressful.
The last thing that I would say with that is don't be like Rebecca because she's crazy. is pray for them. Or pray for yourself. If you're dealing with some things, pray about it. I'm not going to say that God's going to answer your prayers immediately. Your feelings of anxiety are just going to flutter away like little butterflies. I have no idea. It may never go away. In fact, we read about Paul in the New Testament talking about a thorn in his side that he prayed and prayed and prayed for God to take away from him, and God said no. You know what? That may be your thing. You're going to be anxious or struggle with depression for the rest of your life. You may need to take medication. You may need, counseling. We all probably need counseling. But, it may never go away. But continue to pray about it. Pray for your situation. Pray for others. And if we're talking about you and a friend, and it's a friend, pray for God to give you the words and give you the courage to know how to handle that situation. And then again, I just want to say it again. Talk to an adult. Last thing is that I just really want to try to like make this as practical as I can. I know this is not the most exciting message. But what we're going to do now in our last little few minutes is we're going to break off into our groups. And I just want to give you some time to talk with your group about this content. If those of you who have the Lead Small app, if you can get it to work, we have the code. Did you ever get yours to work? It won't work? It may be an iPhone a thing right now where it's not going to work with anything that's not an iPhone. But if you go to the Leap Small app.